Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The TalkSport Daily Podcast is proud to be in partnership with Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Whether your business needs cars, vans, or larger commercial vehicles, you can rent from the best lineup in the UK with Enterprise. And with flexible long-term rental, you can get vehicles for as long as you need them, from minutes to months. Whatever the mission, Enterprise's mobility experts can build a bespoke solution to suit your business needs. Visit enterprise.co.uk/business to find out more.
This is TalkSport Daily.
Hello and welcome to another edition or download, whatever this thing is called, of the TalkSport Daily. With, of course, me, Andy Goldstein, who presents the Andy Goldstein Sports Bar Monday to Friday, or soon to be Monday to Thursday, actually, but more about that later. From 10 p.m, the official phone-in on TalkSport. Right, I think I've plugged that enough. Anyway, in this podcast, which is one of my favourites that we've ever done, it's only the second one, there's lots of goodness coming your way. And we begin with David Moyes, who, of course, you may remember, was a manager of Manchester United for a bit. He was alongside Alan Brazil on The Breakfast Show, and some of the stuff he had to say was very interesting indeed. The type of town I can spend a few days in Miami, the city that keeps the roof blazing. Party in the city where the heat is on, all
night on the beach till the break of dawn. Now, Davey's sitting next to me with his Don Johnson white suit on. Now, another story involved in David Beckham, old Golden Balls. Along with the fellow owner of the newly formed Inter Miami, are on the hunt for the first boss. And according to our website, the man sitting next to me is on the shortlist of managers the club are considering. Do you fancy a bit of Florida, David?
Well, it's something which looks a really interesting project. I watched the MLS quite a bit, and we were talking a bit earlier about how
it's
well
getting better, isn't it?
The MLS is getting better.
The crowds.
I mean, look, I don't know how many people have seen Atlanta, but you know,
70,000, aren't they?
It's Atlanta. Now the soccer team are getting more support than the American football team, and we talk about how good Tottenham Stadium is, and his Tottenham Stadium is incredible. Well, wait till you see Atlanta Stadium. It is unbelievable, you know. So I think that the MLS is growing. I know that, you know, if you get a team in Miami, Miami's a great city. Most people have been there, or certainly a lot of us have been there before. So, look, it's something which I'd certainly have an option.
You'd have known David from Preston days.
We do, David. I could tell you a bit about David, which was very good. When I remember Gary Peters was the manager, and he said to me, he says, we're going to see a Manchester United play Aston Villa. And the game was actually played at the Best Scots Stadium at Walsall.
Yes.
I was player assistant at the time for Preston. So I drove down with Gary in the car, and we're sitting watching Man United and Aston Villa. And David was playing, and there was this wide right player, skinny as anything, pretty small looking. And I'm thinking, there's no way he's going to be good enough for the first or second division. But Gary said, no, we're taking him on loan. And I thought, good. I've got to say, the minute he came in, he was unbelievable.
Yeah.
He was brilliant. He was out taking free kicks. He was gone. And he was only a boy at the time as well. But the biggest thing about him was, after the month, he went straight back and went right into the Manchester United's first team. And the biggest compliment I could give David Beckham was that season we got promoted. Him and his dad, we get promoted to Orient that year. Him and his dad came into the dressing room after
Ted,
the game.
Ted, isn't it? Ted?
Yeah, came down to Orient, and he never sort of forgot that little bit, which hope in some way that he remember helped it or started it.
But
anyway,
he was actually, I think he was 19 at the time. He was a skinny wee thing.
Oh, he had nothing on him. And I thought, he's going to get booted all over the place. But I remember he was practising his free kicks. He was, you know, the corner kicks. And he scored one goal, and it was direct from a corner for Preston at that time.
So that's not luck, that's practice.
Practice. And he was, at that time, he was, you know, he was definitely on the right track. But I think the biggest thing was Sir Alex recognised after a month that he was good enough to go into the Manchester United first team. Took him back.
Harry Maguire, did you try and sign him, David?
We didn't try and sign him, but we flagged him up because at that time, I was very aware of all the players in the lower leagues and had made a really good sort of career out of bringing them to Everton, you know, whether it be Tim Cahill or all the ones who we'd done through the years. And Harry Maguire was another one I recognised. He played against Preston North End at home in a league game, and I watched him and I thought he played really well. But at that time, he was really big, Harry.
Yeah.
But you know,
big as in a bit
big
overweight.
Big as, and you thought, oh my goodness, how big's Harry going to be? Because he was a young, relatively young boy at the time.
Build wise,
and you're looking and saying, he can only get bigger, his hips. To be fair, he looks in terrific shape, and he's not changed at all, really. Yeah.
See, when you say you flagged it up, is that you with your staff?
Yeah,
or?
me with my scouts and myself, and I watch a lot of games, and folks see me at a lot of games, but it's mainly to try and look to see good players on the road. And Harry Maguire was a good player. It's about like Tarkovsky as well. Tarkovsky was at Oldham at the time.
What sort of money were they then? Was Harry about 5 mil, something like that, 4 or 5 mil?
I think he probably was. You know, I can't even remember, but because it wasn't something, when I went to United, it wasn't what we needed. You've got to remember, when I was at United, we had Vidic, Rio, Johnny Evans.
Yeah.
We had Michael Keane, who was a young boy. There was still Phil Jones, Chris Smalling. So us to go and buy another young centre-half at the time wasn't really the biggest thing we needed. And also, if you've been honest, I think Harry Maguire's had to go on his journey. You being a player and that, me being a past player and manager, understand sometimes the players need the journey to get to where they have to go. And,
and if he'd have come then, he might have struggled like that.
Might have struggled, yeah, of course.
I'm Darren Goff and this is TalkSport Daily.
There you go, Alan Brazil and David Moyes. And Alan, obviously, will be back every morning from 6 a.m. for more of the same. Well, not the same. I mean, it'll be different. But anyway, you understand. Next up, of course, straight after Big Hours left the studio, Jim White, Slim Jim, comes into the studio alongside the wonderful Natalie Sawyer. And their guest was Simon Jordan, who, as you may be aware, is a very quiet man and never outspoken and always sits on the fence. Oh, boring, boring Simon.
Obviously, there's been lots of rumours about what's going to be happening with Daniel Sturridge. He is a free agent after his contract came to an end. Liverpool, I think 13 clubs reportedly are interested in him. One of them was meant to be Fenerbahce, but we have spoken to Damon Camoli, who's the director of football at Fenerbahce, and he said this move won't happen because they can't afford his wages. Obviously, he's been earning Premier League wages, and he says that it's just not possible to pay that amount for Daniel Sturridge. Now, I kind of wondered, what does that mean for Daniel Sturridge? Where is the next move for him? Is there something about Daniel Sturridge that Premier League clubs just aren't interested in him anymore? Now, of course, we know he had his injury issues. He didn't play that much, really, at Liverpool.
Yeah.
He's had this recent betting scandal. Perhaps has that hampered his chances of getting a move into a Premier League club? So I really want to know, where's next for Daniel Sturridge? Does he have to go to US? Does he have to go to China, the Middle East, to pick up the kind of wages that he would have been on at Liverpool? And why? Why aren't other Premier League clubs deciding to take a chance on him? Let's not forget that Newcastle have gone back in for Andy Carroll. Yes, we know how well he did at Newcastle in that first spell, but he's had his injuries. Yet no one is going for Daniel Sturridge. Mm. And I just wonder why. What does everyone think about Daniel Sturridge?
I mean, it's a good point you make, Natalie. I mean, Sturridge, he had that situation after the betting scandal.
Yeah.
He's been free to play, as I understand it, since August the 1st.
Yeah.
So he served a short ban. He was found guilty of betting breaches by this independent commission. Mm-hmm. What we do know, though, is, Simon, the FA is appealing the suspension. They're claiming he should have been banned for a minimum of 6 months. So he's got that still hanging over him. But nonetheless, he's free to play and could have done a great job. Why is nobody going for Daniel Sturridge, Simon Jordan?
I think the conventional wisdom in the game is that Daniel Sturridge is a troubled problem player. I think he's a divisive influence. I think if you look at his career, he's gone from Bolton or from Chelsea to Bolton to Man City to Liverpool at a time when Liverpool were in a slight period of flux before Klopp. Right, when Klopp's come in, you know, Klopp's not had him from the get-go. He's a very, very, very talented footballer. But the fact that an industry that will take some of the worst people at times and have no care or concern for how people are and what kind of individuals they are, whether that's owner, managers or players, the fact that nobody wants Daniel Sturridge will give you a clear indication that the industry has a certain perception of him. Mm. I think he's one of those players that plays entirely for himself. I think he's all about himself. And he's come out of a club like Liverpool, been marginalised by them, and I keep making the point, and you've made the point in your setup, Natalie, nobody wants him. Nobody's picking up a free option.
I'm delighted to say, Natalie, we kick off this morning with Aston Villa midfielder John McGinn. John, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good. Great to have you on board. You guys are training at the stadium, I believe, today, are you?
Yeah, I think that just to get the new signings, there's not that many of them, just to get them familiarised with the surroundings and get them used to the pitch. So looking forward to getting out there.
John, I mentioned it there in my introduction to you, and thanks for joining us live this morning. You were the talk of social media over the weekend. You're probably aware of this now, but after the performance you put in match number one in the Premier League for Villa, Celtic fans were all over it saying, ah, it's what might have been for us. Manchester United fans were all over social media saying, if only he'd come to us. Clearly, you were a man in demand and you're aware of that.
Yeah, I obviously, you see bits and bobs, but my intentions this summer were pretty clear. The club were aware of that. I didn't ever want to leave here this summer. I feel loved here. I feel respected by everyone, the players, the coaches. And to be here only a year, I was keen to go and prove that I could play in the Premier League with Villa. And yeah, it's been an okay start, but there's still a lot more to come from me.
There's a lot more to come. How did you feel, John, when you were offered a brand spanking new five-year deal then at Villa to keep you there?
Yeah, I was chuffed. The club came to me at the start of the summer and they basically said, listen, we've got a lot of work to do. All we need to know is if you want to be here. And it was pretty straightforward. I had nothing else crossed my mind. I wanted to be at Villa this season and the club wanted that. So I've kept the best till last and it's managed to get me signed up eventually.
You've kicked off our show for Natalie and I this morning. It's fair to say, John, you are loved by Villa fans. Have they made a big impression on you as much as you have on them?
Yeah, I think when I came down here, I was surprised with the stature of the club. Obviously, I was aware of how illustrious Aston Villa was. But to see the potential now going into the Premier League, just it's amazing to be part of. And to go into the season as one of the club's main players is such a confidence boost for me. And to feel so loved from the stands, obviously, it gives you an extra 1 or 2% on a Saturday. And thankfully, on Saturday, I managed to open my account and hopefully I can get more goals for the club.
As always, in the best bits, we have to put something from one of the best shows, and that is, of course, Drive with Adrian and Goffey. Have a listen to this. This was barking.
This actually really, really grinds my gears, believe it or not. It seriously does. I knew this was going to happen. I told you all this was going to happen. You're all, oh, well, offside is offside. No, it isn't. You cannot apply that science to it. And now we've got a situation where one game into the Premier League season, oh, everybody's going to sit round a table and talk about this because nobody foresaw it, you thickos. Why didn't you realise this was going to happen? Sterling's armpit hair was offside. Since when? Even the Aguero offside against Spurs in the Champions League last season wouldn't have been given if rules had been applied with common sense. So, I'm glad that this is happening, but they should have seen this before it happened. They shouldn't have imposed, crowbarred, sledgehammered VAR through without realising the consequences. They didn't think it through. They were trying to make life easy for well-paid referees. They were trying to make more time so they can have ads during the breaks for VAR. So they can make more money. Think it through. Honestly, some of the dimwits running football globally. Oh, and some of the football fans, genuine football fans, who say, oh yes, offside is offside. He's a millimetre offside, therefore he's offside. So we can't give that.
The law
desperately
is offside.
Trying to get goals ruled out. You're trying to take goals out of football, you idiots.
You're the lawmaker now. No, offside is offside.
I'm the voice of common sense. No, it isn't. That's the point he's saying. Did you not just listen to what he said?
Is it not that he just cannot accept authority? He cannot accept it.
I can't if
just
they're wrong.
Get it. Well, they're not wrong.
Somebody's
the law's there, dear me, you're wrong.
Mate, they're talking about changing them, so they're admitting they're wrong.
No.
Yes, they are.
They change it, then it'll be right. At the minute, it's wrong.
Oh, my... Are you really that passive? Do you never challenge anything in your life?
Do you not
think... Since when was that? Did you never challenge anybody at Yorkshire?
Do you not... Plenty of times.
Exactly.
Do you not think that most things get changed if... so-and-so keeps happening. Then they'll change it to better the game.
That's
so
fine.
That's what it's happening. So you learn by your mistakes along the way.
Oh, but yeah, but Goffey, listen to the thing I said at the start. I knew this was going to happen. I'd said many, many times, you can't apply freeze frames to offsides in that way. And everybody's suddenly thinking, oh, no, you can't, can you? So let's change it. Listen to me. I got it right. You'll think I know nothing about it. And here they are doing what I said they should have done before they imposed VAR on us. It should never have been brought into the Premier League until they were ready. And look at them. They've all got to have a meeting about it. Don't have a meeting about it. Sort it out.
That's why you have a committee, mate. You've got to have a meeting.
Anyway, move on.
Now, you may have noticed that I said this is Barker before going into it. That's because that was what we call in the business a generic link. I didn't actually know what was going to be in the clip because I recorded it before their show went out. But you're probably thinking, actually, you know what, Goldstein, you were right. It was Barking. Yet at the same time, brilliant.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This episode of the TalkSport Daily is brought to you by Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Planning to hire or share a car or van? Enterprise is there every step of the way. Whenever and wherever you need a vehicle and whatever it's for, Enterprise can help. With over 450 locations across the UK, they're just around the corner. Whether you need a weekend rental, a holiday hire, a replacement car, or you're planning a business trip, home or away, Enterprise are there to help. To find out more and book, visit enterprise.co.uk.
Now, I know I said at the top of the podcast that I, of course, present Andy Goldstein Sports Bar Monday to Thursday from 10 p.m. But today, I actually presented Hawksby and Jacobs. I was Paul Hawksby for the day alongside the wonderful Andy Jacobs. And this is one of my favourite moments from the three-hour show we did, which you can find Monday to Friday from 1 p.m. on TalkSport. I say this is one of my favourite bits. I don't know what bit they've put in this bit of the podcast, but let me tell you, the whole 3 hours were magical, so you can bet your bottom dollar that this bit will be fantastic. Earlier on, that came out slightly differently as it was in my head. But
yeah, it's fine.
Earlier on, I've been asking for your own personal world records. That's because our next guest has set a world record of standing in an icebox. are for 2 hours, 8 minutes, and 47 seconds. Why, you may ask? Well, I can't answer that.
Was he sitting or standing? The photo looks like he's sitting, but I don't know. We'll have a look.
Let's say hello, good afternoon to Joseph Kerbel, joins us. Joseph, good afternoon to you.
Hello, sirs. Here's Joseph from Austria. Hi.
So, you are the founder of the National Ice Swimming Association. So, you're a man that's used to extreme cold, but this was ridiculous. Tell the listeners what you actually did.
So, yes, I am a president of the Austrian Ice Swimming Association. And, I was in a glass box full of ice ice cubes. Mm. And I was there inside for more than 2 hours. So it was a little bit cold, but it was a very new experience for me because ice swimming, you can't do such a long time in ice water. But in a box with ice cubes, it's possible to be longer inside.
Joseph, can I ask why you did it?
I was in a show in the springtime. And there I was sitting in a box full of ice, and I thought, okay, I did more than one hour, so that works very good. Where is the world record? So let's try the world record, and so I did it.
Well, that's incredible. You did it at Vienna Central Station. So did you have a bit of a crowd watching you and encouraging you?
Yeah, that was my main thing, taking a big crowd around me so that I got more motivation to do that.
And I was reading that you said, this is fairly logical, really, but you said it was very cold at the beginning. It would have, I mean, it must have been a shock to your system. I mean, were you worried that it would affect you in that way, your health?
No, I trained that all in a box full of ice water. So the water temperature was approximately around 3 degrees to 5 degrees. But the water was all around my skin, so that's harder than ice cubes because they are not all over the body. Mm. They're in parts. So in ice water, it's harder.
Joseph, while we've been talking to you, I've just been told that someone's beaten your world record. So are you prepared to go to 3 hours?
I think it's not that problem to be 3 hours in an ice box. The hardest problem for me will be to tell that my wife that I will do that again.
It's incredible.
Because she is frightened, you know.
Yeah, well, not surprised.
It's not so easy for her.
No. Well, congratulations. I don't know, have you got another world record in mind? Something even madder? Or is this it for you?
Yeah,
could you combine the two and maybe have a massive gin and tonic?
You're listening to TalkSport Daily.
And last, but by, of course, no means least, is the sports bar. Usually it's the Andy Goldstein sports bar, Monday to Friday from 10 p.m. or Thursday, 10 p.m. But as I've mentioned numerous times on this podcast, I was, of course, alongside Andy Jacobs. So that meant the sports bar hot seat was taken by Jason Cundy, who moved to his left. And Jason's not-so-hot seat was taken by Perry Groves. Here's just a flavour, a sniff, of some of the callers on that midnight train.
Jamie, good morning and welcome.
Hi, good morning.
Right,
hello, Jamie.
Good morning. Now, Jamie, you are the guy from last night that phoned up the show with myself and Andy that chased a girl. I'm going to try and just condense everything that you told me last night, if I can remember. If I go wrong, let me know. Okay. You met a girl at a tube station. She gave you your number, her number.
Yeah.
You went up the escalators. When it was in your phone, it didn't save. You then ran down the escalators the wrong way. You ran on the platform. You jumped on the train that she was going to be on. You then hunted her down on the train. You got the number, and you've been messaging her. She hasn't been replying. Now, Andy and I come to the conclusion that maybe she's given you a wrong number. You've now phoned up to give us an update.
Restraining order.
Take it away.
Right, this is part two. The update is that... Obviously, I used my work phone to phone her because I was talking to you on TalkSport at the time. So after I came off of TalkSport, what happened? The work phone rang and she rang the phone back.
Boom!
So I picked up the phone.
Yeah.
We had a long conversation, long half an hour, 35 minute conversation. She said the reason why she was ignoring my messages is because she thought when she saw me on the tube that I looked like a roadman. I don't know if you know what a roadman is.
A roadman.
A roadman.
What's a roadman?
I don't roadkill.
Well, a road. No, not roadkill.
You look like roadkill, mate. That's not a compliment.
Especially if you're chasing down escalators and on trains and on tubes.
A roadkill. Yeah, go on.
basically, a road man, on in slang terms, is basically somebody who hasn't really got a job. He just dosses around all day, doesn't basically do anything. You might have a couple of gold chains, nice pair of trainers, and nice clothes on, but he basically doesn't do anything.
Right. Okay.
That's what a road man is.
And yeah, are you a road man?
By the way, that was some assumption, though, wasn't it?
No. Yeah. Why did she? So, yeah, why did she come to that conclusion?
I don't. Well, it's just a stereotype, isn't it? So basically, because I have got gold teeth as well.
So go on, tell us. So what's happened then? This sounds like good news. Is it good news?
It's very good news, because then I said to her, well, I'm not a road man, obviously, I work. Yeah. You're on my work phone at the moment. So she said to me, what do you do? So I said to her, I'm a paramedic. And she said to me, instantly, you've become more attractive to me. Yeah. And we've had conversations all day, near enough.
Are you a paramedic?
I am a paramedic, yeah.
Okay, you've instantly become more attractive to me as well.
So you rock the green. You love a green jumpsuit.
Well, Scrubs. She did ask me to send her a couple of pictures to prove it.
Right.
So obviously I was at work at the time, so I took a couple of pictures, sent them to her. Bob's your uncle.
Okay, so tell us, where are you going to, where's the date? What are you doing?
I don't know, because obviously she's from Bournemouth. Right. I asked her what she's doing this weekend.
Take her on the pier. You know,
Bournemouth's a nice place. I don't mind driving down there.
Yeah,
so
beautiful.
I'll probably see her this weekend if I can.
All right, Jason.
Hello, mate. Who's that? Who are we talking to?
Michael.
Hi, Michael.
Yeah, I've been a fan of you for a while, but you blocked me on Twitter.
What did you say? I must have said something nasty.
I don't remember what it was, but right. I'm a bit gutted about it. I'd like you to revoke it.
It's an apology.
Come on, you know what you've said, Michael. You know. What did you say? You know what you said to me to block you?
I think it was something that I shouldn't repeat on radio, but I apologise about it.
No, he's a big man. Just take his apology.
Do you know what? I'm gonna give us your... what's your Twitter, Michael?
M-C-O-D.
M-C-O-D. M-C-O-D.
84. Yeah.
You're going to abuse me again, aren't you? You're going to say, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get Cundy to unblock me, and then I'm going to abuse him.
No, I won't. I'll be nice to you.
You're a Liverpool fan, aren't you, Michael?
No, Everton fan.
No football.
Oh,
God, yeah, I've only killed him, haven't I?
Thing is, he's phoned up to apologise, you've unblocked him, just completely ruined his call.
I know, that's a black mark on
you. You did it on purpose.
I didn't do that on purpose.
That was retribution right there.
But that's it. Another Best Of podcast, and I think you'll agree it's one of the best we've done so far. And a reminder that I will be back, actually not tomorrow, on the Andy Goldstein Sports Bar, Monday to Friday, Thursday from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. but alongside Andy Jacobs again for more Hawksby and Jacobs from 1 p.m. So until then, thanks for listening, and of course remember to press subscribe, so then you don't have to worry about getting this, because it automatically drops into your inboxy thing. Just press subscribe and you'll get this every day. Thank you for listening. Thank you for downloading. Be safe, everyone. Be safe.
That was a podcast from TalkSport.
The TalkSport Daily Podcast is proud to be in partnership with Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Whatever your mission, home or away, don't delay. Enterprise has the vehicle for the job. Rent from the best lineup in the UK. With over 450 branches, Enterprise has what your business needs. From compact three-door cars to spacious SUVs and people carriers to vans, they offer a large range of reliable vehicles perfect for the job. To find out more and book, visit enterprise.co.uk.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.